Hey, thank you so much. Today is Mother's Day, and earlier on I was asking anyone here who was never born by a mother should raise up his or her hand. Let me see. It's possible. If you're born through a test tube, at least the mother made a donation. Hey, it's good to have you here today. My name is Gideon Nash, and I'm here to bring the word of God to you today. It's Mother's Day, 11th of March, 2018, right? Sometimes I mix the dates up. Maybe I want to rush to the end of the times. But I am so grateful to having a mother who unfortunately is not alive today. But I really benefited from her love, her care, and all the things that she gave me. I'm sure as I was growing up, I was giving her a lot of griefs too. But mothers always have patience, and they soldier on, and they know how to handle their kids as well. And for me, if I think about my mother, just like a flyer that we put out, that she was a pick-upper. And I remember when one of my kids was growing up, always said, "Dick me up." That means pick me up. So my mother was a pick-upper. She was a provider for me. She was a shoe tier. When I began to wear shoes with lace, I didn't know how to tie them. She was always tying them, and I was always stepping on them too. And I'm sure it frustrated her. She was my carer 24 hours. And whenever I get hurt, I just bring my hand, and my mom will just kiss it, and it becomes better. How she does that, I don't know, but it definitely becomes better. And I'm sure some of you mothers remember that about your kids, don't you? Don't you? I was just only my mother who was coming up with these weird things. Right. She will always kiss it better, and our mothers are kiss it better person for us. And of course, she was my disciple as well, always teaching me how to get on with life. She encouraged me most of the time, even where I didn't feel like I was confident enough to do things, especially when you get to exams. I mean, sometimes some people are really looking for exams. They call exams to come their way because they love it. But me, when I was a kid, when it comes to exams, it's like, oh no, not again. And our time, we're having tests every morning, every Monday morning, times table and spellings. And I'm thinking, oh God, not again. So my mom will encourage me and say, go, you do it. Many people have gone through that and they've survived, so you will survive too. So my mother was like that. And I'm sure most of you, your mothers were like that. I didn't have long hair. And I still don't have much, but she was my hairdresser too. Until I learned to go to the barber shop, she had a huge scissors that she was always cutting off the hair. And I enjoyed it, but when I grew up, I said, no more. I wanted to go to the barber. Of course, your mother is always the personal shopper, always going to the shops and to buy your Christmas present. And especially when you try to be very smart. Who touched this? I remember when we were growing up, I'm just telling my real story, right? And sometimes the food is so nice that after everything is finished, you go to the kitchen and you want to help yourself. And mothers, I don't know what they have in their head. They seem to know everything. So they come, who touched this? First person, who is guilty? I said, not me. See, my mother was a good lie detector, and I'm sure your mothers were too, isn't it? Some of you who like chicken, mothers, they know how to count every piece of the chicken in the bowl. I don't know how they do it, but they can see that, and each time they come and thinking, who touched this? I'm thinking, how did she know? There are only two legs for a chicken. Oh, dear. She was a good storyteller too. I remember she used to tell us bedtime stories, and sometimes she tells a story about herself and her mothers and her grandparents and the family. If she hadn't told me stories, I wouldn't know anything about my history, and sometimes I feel so lost. And of course, mothers are chauffeurs. And some will keep time. Bedtime? School time? That it sound like you? If you didn't, you might probably be doing that for your child, didn't you? And sometimes they can read your mind like a letter, isn't it? And you don't like that. They also listen, they comfort you. And when you are sitting in the pram and you just mess it up, they wipe your face, don't they? They are face wipers. Before these lovely face wipes came to the shops, they knew how to wipe it with a warm cloth. They do so well. They remove every stain from your clothes when you go to school and you mess it up. Above all, your mothers have been big supporters, aren't they? So today we celebrate you, mothers. Look at all that you do. I wonder what the fathers do. Today is Mother's Day, so let's focus on the mothers. So our mothers are amazing people, and we thank God for their lives, and we praise God that we have mothers, whether they are alive or gone to glory like mine. We really, really thank God for that. Today I'm going to preach a message from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2-7, and I've asked Kemi to come and read it for us. She's coming to read it for us. It might not be projected, but don't worry, because our PowerPoint for some song proof for some reason is crashed, but we'll sort it out. So that is Kemi. So she's reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2-7.
Good morning. Wow, this view is amazing. It's awesome to see so many beautiful ladies under the same roof. You ladies are slain. I don't know if they still use that term anymore. You're on fleek. Happy Mother's Day to us all. I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 2-7. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I am reminded to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's it. May the Lord bless his words. Amen.
Thank you, Kemi. This passage that she's read, we'll use it to bring the message home today. The title is Godly Mothers. Godly Mothers. Godly Mothers. Mothers are carriers and delivery of life, literally. Because they alone can be pregnant, right? Yes. Men cannot be pregnant unless you tell me otherwise. So they literally are careers and delivery of life. Therefore, they tend to guard the sons and daughters they give birth to with all diligence. Every mother loves their child. Is that true or not? Or shall we say most mothers love their children, especially when they are tender and so sweet and never said a word in their lives. They love them. Of course, fathers are careers of life too, and they should make every effort to help with the delivery of life for their children until they reach maturity. The Apostle Paul was one of such people, even though he never had a son of his own. He referred to Timothy, who wrote the passage that we just read, as his son, his child. And that he was involved in the delivery of Timothy into maturity. Now, focusing on mothers, we will say this. That in his letter, that is Paul, to pastors, which was specifically addressed to Timothy, he stated that he, Paul, was with a pure conscience and a sincere heart. And he thanked God for these things which he has inherited from his ancestors or forefathers in some translations. And the things that he, Paul, has inherited from his ancestors, he is passing on to Timothy. And this he's passing on is godly motherhood. So today, even as we are talking about Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, we want to bring ourselves to the point to understand that godly motherhood or being a godly mother is to pass on from what your ancestors have given you. And I hope it's the right things that we are passing on to them. We inherit something from them. We pass on our values, which in all likelihood would have inherited from them, either from our mothers, our grandmothers, or great-grandmothers, or forefathers over several generations. For those of you who are people of faith or Christ followers, we are to pass on godly values to our children to last for several generations. And mothers are very good at this. Of course, there are many homes that you have two parents, that the fathers too, to do that. And there are some homes that you only have the father to be the parent of the children. This goes to you as well, that you should do that. And some of you, you are yet to be mothers and you are thinking, what do I do? Today, Mother's Day, the message is find some godly values and pass it on to your children and your children's children, for to do them a lot of good. And mothers, I say you are always good at this. And today we salute you. As godly mothers, you are those or the kind of people who will wake up in the morning with a full knowledge that you are carriers and deliverer of real human beings and not robots. You've delivered real human beings and real lives into this world, and with the responsibility to direct and lead your children right into maturity and not the other way around. You have the responsibility, because you are the mother, to lead your children into maturity. Godly mothers would not allow the challenges of life to distract them or keep them off track from a genuine faith in God. I must say that if you are in a relationship with a spouse who has no faith in God, or who is now not holding on to his faith in God, I must say that if you are in that situation, your situation is a lot harder to be a godly mother or a godly parent. However, godly mothers has a determination and resolve in their heart and in themselves to press on regardless. Hallelujah. They have that determination to press on regardless. Some may lose their husband along the way. Some husbands may not be responsible, and the mothers are saddled with the kids. But somehow God gave them the strength, or gives them the strength to press on. And today I say press on, if you're in that situation. Hallelujah. I say don't give up. Press on, regardless of the situation. Stop looking back. Stop looking at the pain that is going through your heart. For you have a real life that you've delivered into this world, and you have a responsibility to lead this child into maturity. Hallelujah. And if you have got a husband who is helping you, great. But it gets a lot harder to be a godly mother if your spouse is not in faith. But have that determination to keep your peace and get connected to God, because your sanity is derived from your connectedness with God. Are you with me? You see, you can be insane. Not that the kids are bad kids, but sometimes situation and the kids can drive you insane, in quotes. You understand that? Anyone, your children be like that to you? I remember my mom sometimes look at me, I'm thinking, you know, Gideon, I don't know what you're growing up to. I thank the Lord that she did not curse me. Otherwise, I wouldn't know where I would have been by now. So, I would say this, that we have to keep connected with God so that we can have our peace to overcome all obstacles that we face as mothers. In so doing, you acquire godly values that surpasses and all understanding, and you pass this on to your children to ensure that they are not blown away by every wind of life that is around them. If we do not hold on to godly values and become godly mothers, then these children can be blown away like that. Let me read something from the Psalm of David, Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4 to you. And I read, "Oh, blessed, or blessed are those who do not follow the advice of wicked or wrongdoers, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers, or people who are cynical. But they delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But wrongdoers, they are not like that. They are worthless. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind." Now, we are trying to bring up children as mothers in a godly way, so that they will be blessed. That means the favor of the Lord will be upon them, so that they will grow up and know the laws of our God. And they will meditate, reflect deeply, think deeply about it, and apply the principles into their lives. And when they do apply this in their lives, they will be like trees planted by the riverside. And if a tree is planted by the riverside, it takes its nourishment from the river. It never dries up. There is no winter. There is no spring, there is no summer, there is no autumn for the trees. They spring up all the time. Is that right? That is exactly what we are trying to say, that we have that responsibility. And when they do that, and they are like the trees whose leaves never withers, that is where the kids begin to prosper in life. There is so much life in them. So let us bring our children, mothers. You are good at that. That is why I'm addressing you. When it comes to Father's Day, they will have their share. But for now, as I said, if you're a mother or you're a father and you're playing the part or the role of a mother, or if you're a parent or carer, whatever the situation you are playing, I'm saying today, Mother's Day, we want to come to the point of bringing our children into prosperity. I didn't say into richness, did I? Into prosperity. It may include richness or wealth. It may include academic excellence. It may include health. It may include a whole lot of influence and other things over their lives. They may be gifted and talented. We're saying that we want our kids to prosper. And no parent wants their kids to not prosper. I surely want my children to prosper, don't I? And that mothers even want it more, I am sure. Otherwise, we move away from being godly mothers, being there for them, and effectively we are saying they are worthless. We want the wind to blow them off like a chaff. But remember, a mother always brood over the kids, right? I remember, was it a couple of weeks ago or last week, was it Irene preaching? And she shows a chicken or hen brooding over its chick, right? And that is how mothers brood over their kids. Maybe not literally, because we don't want them to have court debt or some bed debt or whatever it is. But then what we're trained is that they brood over them like that. They protect them from anyone who will harm them. And this is not only when they are kids, but we have to do that all the time until they become mature and leave our tents and find their own tents to lie in. The value that a mother build or godly mother will build for her children will keep them away from the counsel of the ungodly. The children will have something to meditate on when they come under pressure to conform to the standards of this world. Even if they might stray, there's always the hope that they will find their way home one day. Hallelujah. There's always the chance that they will find their home one day, like Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. The guy came from a good home. A father who loves the kids, just like our Heavenly Father does. God has passed on such instincts to mothers in particular. And mothers exhibit that in a very powerful way. And even if their children go away from home, they will return one day. Now, what are these godly values that I want to share with you, or Paul wants us to grab today? Listen to what King Solomon said. He's the third king of the United Kingdom of Israel during the time that God was with them. And this is what he wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. He says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman pulls it down with her own hands." The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish puts it down with her own hands. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a kid, there was this lady. She was under pressure in her life in some ways. And she was living with her sister, younger sister, and the younger sister has kids. And she herself had three children, one boy and two girls. But they used to stress her up, or she was so stressed most of the time that anything the kids does, like you light a match to a paraffin, and she lights up. And she will curse them. I mean, she's gone to glory. That's why I can tell her story, right? And she will curse them and said, "You will go to prison." His own son, "You will go to prison, Anthony." And I was a kid, and I'm thinking, what has he done to go to prison? Just because he did not do the washing up? Oh, those days there were no dishwashers, right? So if you're in a home and you're a child, you do some washing up. Is that true? Only these people do it. The rest, they never did anything. So they would do washing up, and probably that was all that he did. Or maybe he went to play with his friends and came back home late. And so you go to prison. And I lived long enough to actually know that this man, actually, when he grew up, he went to prison. When he was about 21 years old. You see, the Bible said, look, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. And I'm telling you this story to say that a godly mother will make sure that you build the home and that you guard your mouth from what you will say to your children. You understand that? You have to guard your mouth for the things that you say. The Bible said that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what you say to your children can come into being. If you bless them, they are blessed. If you curse them, they will be cursed. So be careful. It doesn't matter whether you are under pressure or you are angry or you are disappointed. You have to have a sweet spirit. To build godly values in the home, you should do these four things. One, pray day and night for her children. And this is what Apostle Paul wrote and we read. "I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers without ceasing." That's what Paul writes in this. "I thank God for you, Timothy, the God I serve with a clear and a pure conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers without ceasing." Now, this is a good example for godly mothers to hold on to. That from the moment you find yourself pregnant with the baby, start praying day and night for that baby in your womb. Are you with me? Because you are praying for a healthy baby. You are praying for a baby to be delivered normal, if possible. You are praying for that baby to come to give you joy. You are praying for that baby to come and somehow you look after him or her for her to grow their teeth, biting you on the way. And then one day, you also get to the point that they will also help you to lose your teeth. Well, not by punching you. They might put you in a care home, or maybe they will invite you to their home if their husbands allow them. And if you're a husband, don't you say that your stepmother is not coming to your home. You hear that? You have no right to say that. If the mothers didn't give birth to them, you wouldn't be there. Some people say, oh, my stepmother is a trouble. It's not trouble. If they're trouble, that means your wife is trouble too. But let me not digress too much. Day and night, you should pray for your children before they are even born. And when they are born at every stage, be praying for them. Pray for them when they are going to school. Pray for that they will enjoy school. Because sometimes some children find school a challenge. Pray for them that they enjoy it. Pray for them they will get teachers who will love them, not that ones who will be prejudicial against them because of some reason. Pray for your children when they go on a school trip. Pray for them when they are playing football or netball or basketball or whatever they will do. Pray for them. Pray for them when they go to the concert. Pray for them when they are growing up and they are going to the parties and you give them deadline and they are standing and pray for them. Hallelujah. Please pray for them at every stage. Especially when they become teenagers. Those stages are just another stage in life. They are learning everything so fast. And they are so smart, they think they are 10 times smarter than their parents. They are not. Actually, it's true. Because their parent has already passed that stage a long time ago. So they can look back to learn what they missed. So their parents probably are smarter. So somehow along those, and that is the time that you have to be praying for them. What are they going to do there? Don't waste your time even imagining it, but just pray for them. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, begin to do that at every stage until they begin to grow up and leave home and do whatever they had to do and they go to their husbands or wherever they want to be. When they are independent, then probably your prayer life will be step back a little bit, but still pray for them. They are your children. Mothers are good at this. That's why I'm addressing you to do that. Godly mothers, pray day and night for your children. Bring them before God without fail and don't let distance or challenges of life take that privilege away. For their lives, well-being, and prosperity depends upon your prayers. Secondly, model genuine faith in God at home and outside home. The mother like most godly people will look up to God as the Heavenly Father and not the other way around. You don't look up to your children to help you out to be a parent. They have to look up to you as a parent to help them out. Are you following my logic here? Because we look up to our Heavenly Father. God does not look up to us. We look up to Him. That's why we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We look up to something greater than ourselves. You don't look up to something lesser than yourself. Of course, as your children grow up and they get to a certain stage, they might add value to your own decisions. To give them the chance, because their brains are sharper. They don't think about much. They don't have much of the problems around this world to let it stress them up. And therefore, the things that you are struggling to pick it up, they will pick it up very quickly. That's why they can understand, gadgets more than you. Not because they are brighter. They have less problems. You are thinking, oh God, if I do it and it doesn't work, what will I do? They don't think that way. It will work. So they just get on with it. You see, but then until you get to that stage, even so, model genuine faith to them. You look up to God, and they should look up to you. In Paul's writing here, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, of what we're reading. It says, my son Timothy, I remember the genuine faith that is in you, for you share the faith that first dwelt, that is lived in or lives in or filled or was filled or your grandmother was full of it. That first dwelt in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know, I am persuaded that the same faith is in you and also continues strong in you. Paul said he's persuaded, he's convinced, he's sure that the strong faith that was in Timothy's grandmother, which was also in the mother Eunice, is also in you. I am persuaded. That means he sees something. And what he saw, he knew and he knew that it was from, has been passed on from one generation to the other. Paul specifically mentioned lady's name, grandmother Louise and mother Eunice. He could have said, Timothy, from your father. Of course, Timothy actually had a father, you know, he had a Greek father. But they mentioned the mothers. So today being Mother's Day, Timothy had inherited a genuine faith that has been passed on through generations. The way the grandmother Louise and mother Eunice conducted themselves in words, in deeds, in devotion and worship of God was the same at home as it is in church and outside in the public. Sincere faith is what Paul was talking about. What you see is what they are. They look up to God, so the children will look up to them as the model. What did Paul say this? He was saying this to remind Timothy that he had looked up to his mother, and therefore he is exhibiting sincere faith, and his mother also looked up to his mother, who is Timothy's grandmother, to do that. So you look up to somebody. Are you getting my drift this morning? The moment the mother looks up to the children, that is the point you lose them and cease to model genuine faith in God to them. How, you may ask? When the children begin to tell you what to do and you run around them, you can't be modeling genuine faith to them anymore. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to model genuine faith to them, and they have to look up to you. You have to tell them about God. You have to model God to them. And if you are looking up to them instead of you looking to God, then the children are driving you. They tell you what to do. And some parents, some mothers are like that. I hear fathers are too hard sometimes. But today we are with mothers. The moment your child said, Mom, this is what I want. I don't want this. This is what I want. It's, oh, yes, my Lord. Literally, you say that, but you don't verbalize it. And whatever they tell you is what you do. From that point, you cease to model faith to them. Because when they get to a time and you are trying to tell them about your faith, how would they listen? You've been listening to them for all these years. Why should they listen to you now? I'm challenging you, mothers, on a Mother's Day too. I'm a parent too. I thank God and I'm a father, so this message is only for mothers, right? So I'm saying that is the point that we lose them. Please, let us be sure that we all love our children. And I'm chief among those. Please let them look up to us until they reach maturity. Otherwise, there is nothing to look up to when they grow up. Research and statistics, according to Christianity Magazine and Christianity Today in the UK, both shows that a lot of good, decent and successful people out there who now don't go to church or say they have faith of any sort at all. But when they trace back to their generations, it was found that someone or more likely many generations of theirs have modeled genuine faith to them. Oh, may we pray that in our own home we will not stop modeling real faith to people. Oh, that we'll reach out to these people. There are a lot of decent people out there who don't go to church. But you know what? For some reason, maybe their wealth has moved them away. Maybe other circumstances, maybe they've come to other things. But somehow along the line, research shows that somebody was modeling faith to them. So in their heart of heart, their heart is open to God, and that is why they are so decent. That's why they are so nice and good. That's why they are so generous. That's why you look at them and say they are good people. Some people, you talk to them and say, oh, I'm a good person. Of course they are a good person. You can't dispute that. Who are you to judge who is bad and who is good? But somehow along the line, somebody has modeled genuine faith to them. And there are so many of them out there that we have to reach out to them and talk to them. So that decent man or woman living next door to you, somehow, maybe the grandmother, the great-grandmother, maybe the mother has modeled faith to them, and their heart will be opened. If only we will tell them about Jesus. Jesus said something in John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16, and I'll read it to you. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have another sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus said, I have another sheep. So whilst he was addressing the people, the disciples were there, the obvious Christians were there. But somehow some people who probably are sitting here, they will not go to church on a normal basis. But somehow along the line, their heart is open to God. They are part of the another sheep that must be brought into the fold so that they will come under one shepherd. And we have a responsibility to pray for them. Now, let me tell you point three. It's not as long as the other one. Tell them the ways of your God. Mothers, teach them the ways of your God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 9, and it said, how can a young man or a young person keep his or her way pure? It's by keeping it according to your word, by obeying the word of the Lord. How can a young man or a young woman keep their way pure? By obeying your word. We have to teach our children the word of God, the Bible, what is in there. Joshua, as a relatively young leader, took over the mantle of leadership from Moses when Moses died at the age of 120 years old. For 40 years, the people of Israel had been wandering around the desert. A journey that they should have done it in 40 days. It's taken them 40 years, and they still haven't inherited the promise that God has given them. They still haven't entered the promised land to inherit what God gave to them. Their inheritance was still waiting for them to inherit. But Joshua would lead the Israelites to possess the land. But to be successful in doing so, God told Joshua they had to be a people of the word, a people of the Bible. Joshua recorded this in the book that he wrote in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. God is talking about prosperity and being successful. He said that if we, the word of God is in our mouth, if we read it, if we meditate it, if we apply it in our lives, then we'll be successful. And in fact, Joshua did exactly that. He read it to over 2 million, people, Israelites, who needed to go and inherit their possession, or they had to go for their inheritance, go to the promised land. He did that, and within 3 days they had to. They read the word of God. They meditated upon it. They thought deeply about it. They said, God, yes, Joshua, everything that you said, we will do. We will even cleanse ourselves and be ready to do that. And they did that. And when they did that, in 3 days that he read this to them, they actually went to possess the land. So today, if you want your children, mothers, to attain their destinies, to be who God has made them to be, I want to encourage you that I encourage them to take the word of God seriously in their lives. There's no one format in doing this. Some mothers will read to their children at bedtime stories from other books. But my question is, why don't you include stories from the Bible too as a bedtime stories? Some of these stories are beautiful, aren't they? So why can't we include that as part of our bedtime stories to our people? But why not include them? Instead of leaving it to your Sunday school teachers to do it or your school teachers to do it. These days they don't even do that, do they? They don't even have, some schools have stopped having morning assemblies. And when they have it, it's all sorts. So your children come home not even knowing what they believe anymore. So they get so confused. They say, okay, forget about this religion stuff. It's too complicated. I don't want it. So they will have other easier options. But if we teach them our ways, that will help them. Others will have daily devotions with their children or explain significant biblical occasions to them. Many will create the opportunity or answer the questions their children will ask them about the Bible. We must go to the Bible for inspiration if we want to be godly parents to teach them our ways. There's so many answers in the Bible than we thought. There are so many solutions in the Bible than we can imagine. And I want to recommend that to you. I said, mothers do good at this because they spend most of the time with the children than the fathers. Is it true or not? Well, most of the time, they spend more time with the children than the fathers. Not that the fathers don't care, but they are wired sometimes differently, and their priorities also sometimes is different. But we just want to say this. And why am I saying that we should go to the Bible for solutions? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of, or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Put in the modern language, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip people to do every good works. That's from New Living Translation. God uses the Bible to prepare people to do every good works. And finally, to be a godly mother, a godly parent, we have to lay hands on our children to impact spiritual gifts and encourage their creativities or their creative instinct. Now, Paul finished this reading that we had in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Say, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Encourage the giftedness of your children. And let them serve both at home, at school, and in church. Let them use their talent, their gift, their abilities. Let them serve at home. Teach them to do the things that they ought to be doing. Teach them to help you out. Teach them to do the things that will be beneficial to them. Give them proper jobs. I remember one of my young ladies, well, they are young ladies now, when they were kids, went to school and told the teacher, they said, what did you do this week at home? The parents said, visitors came to our house, and my mother gave me the chance to serve them. And I'm thinking, this is a big deal to a child. And the teacher commended her and wrote back to us that this child enjoyed serving, so help her to serve more. And today, that child, and I would say my children, they love to serve people. We're modeling godly values to them. Encourage their giftedness. Stir it up. Kindle it. Kindle spiritual fervor in your children. And that will do them a lot of good. You will build confidence in them. They will not be timid in future. And when they have to face life ahead of them, they will do so with boldness. Instead, as you do this, make sure that they will be filled with love, self-control, and a sound mind. As you instill these godly values into them, That helps them. Mothers, you are doing all this in preparation of your heart, of the heart of your and the minds of your children for life and eternity. I'll quote one more verse and I'll stop. He said, Proverbs 16 verse 1 said, the preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, we have to prepare the heart and minds of our children to know God. But it is God who will see what the mothers are doing, who will see the tears and the prayers of the mothers, and he will answer them. The Bible tells us that there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And this is repeated in a short space of time in the book of Proverbs 14, 12, and 16, 25. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. God has no pleasure in the death of anyone except Jesus Christ, who laid down his life as a ransom for many, so that we will turn back to God. I would end this with a story. For those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago, I told you about the near-death experience that I had right in this church. I'm not going to repeat the whole story. But as you keep in your mind that there's a way that seemed right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I nearly died preaching here in this church. Fell off from the stage, mortified, going cold, and the church surrounded me and they prayed. And as I sought to understand what happened to me, God gave me a deep revelation and a deep vision. And in that vision, I had been invited to go to the house at the palace of a king. And as I was going, I got somewhere along the line on my left. The Bible talks about left and right in Matthew chapter 25, and it's so true. On my left was a huge auditorium. Parents and children had filled it, and some were queuing to go in. And in that place, it was utter darkness. I did not see fire. Utter darkness. And the parents were in there, and I'm thinking, why are they in there? And many are queuing to go there. There was not even a gate, but it's a wide expanse. People were queuing to go there. And outside were a lot of young people, not caring where they were going, but they were queuing to go to the same place. Their gadgets were in their hands. Things were in their ears. Some were doing other stuff. And I look at them thinking, that can't be the palace. And I look at my watch, and I was early. So I said, that can't be. So wherever it is, I must find it. Then one said, it's over there to your right. Right again. And I turned, and I'll spare you from there on. And what I am saying here to bring to your attention that these gadgets are killing our children. It's not wrong to have mobile phones. It's not wrong to have iPads and all those things. But they are leading our children to hell. It's in their ears. It's in their hands. They don't look at anything. They don't lack anything anymore. These have become their gods. These have become the things that they love above all things. And my brothers and my sisters and mothers, I beg you, these things are leading our children to hell. I saw it with my own eyes, and I want to warn you, if you're here, Mother's Day, pray that the gods of your children will not be these gadgets and the things in their ears that they listen to. Most of these songs, now we know that most of the singers have sold their souls to the devil. We know that. And these are the songs that our kids love most. And tell the church song is boring. We have to be praying for our children. So I've come to an end of my message today. But I'm saying that if you are here and you're a mother, I may be wondering, how can I bring godly values to my children since I don't even know about this God? I want you to know that Jesus is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So today, if you want to be that mother who wants to bring godly values to your parents, your children, I want us to pray right now. You can bow down your heads right now. I want to pray. Hallelujah.